Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello.
Absolutely.
All right, people. Hello once again on a fine Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're listening to me, who I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I am the host of the FSP Crew Show. We got a great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be. You've heard it from me. Always, if you want to talk to me. Like I said, we got this great show in store for you tonight. We're going to be talking about two types of football, the American football and the other type of football that a lot of countries play. Some people call it football, and some people call it soccer. I'm not going to talk about what's going on the field. I'm talking about what's going on off the field. We'll also be going talking about the NBA and what's happening there. If you don't know, you should. If you don't know. And like I said, we're going to be talking about the NFL, American football. There's some things going on in American football that I want to bring up and talk about. And we're going to be doing that. So sit back, relax, catch your brew if you got it, and relax, and listen to the conversation. I'm going to take a quick break, get myself together, and then we'll come back and we'll converse, starting with the NFL and somebody who's very disgruntled in the NFL. What else is new? Be right back.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
All right, we are back. And we are, like I said, we are back. I am JT, aka the Master, and this is the FSP Crew Show. Besides the number I gave you before we went on that little short little break, I meant to tell you that we have a chat room sitting out there. If you don't want to jump on that chat room and lay your knowledge in there, ask a question, make a comment or a statement, it's there for whatever you want to do with it. Remember, what you put in there is what you're going to get out. Nothing in, nothing out. Garbage in, garbage out. We try to stay on an intelligent level here. And hopefully you will do the same.
But let's start off with the show here. All right, people. I told you we're going to talk about a disgruntled player, a one of many disgruntled players in the NFL. We've talked about Tom Brady and his appeal is going to be coming up shortly. Greg Hardy, if I'm not mistaken, his appeal is supposed to be either hurt today or in a very, very near future. He has a 10-game suspension for domestic violence. Well, he got a conviction by the judge. And then he appealed it for a jury trial. And then it never got to the jury trial. It got dismissed for the reason that the primary witness and the victim was nowhere to be found. And they had reached a financial settlement, meaning Greg Hardy and the victim. So now we're here with this, and this has been going on. We're talking about one of the best players in the NFL, not named Tom Brady. We're talking about AP all day, Adrian Peterson. For those who haven't heard, Adrian Peterson is not a happy camper and really is not happy with his team, the Minnesota Vikings. Now, Mike Zimmer, the coach of the Vikings over the past couple of days, has said, and publicly, this is the first time he's ever said it publicly, that it's AP, you play for the Minnesota Vikings, or you don't play for anyone else. We're not going to trade you. And AP, on a Twitter account, went on to vent about teams being able to void contracts while players are bound to those same deals. I love people who think they know it all. SMH, which is shake my head. Research how many NFL teams hasn't honored a player's contract and learned something. Question for the people. Is a contract two-sided or one? Okay. Great. Two-sided. Well, why, when one party decides, Mr. whoever it is, we want you to take a pay cut now, or better yet, flat out release you? And that's true. If a player, if a team comes to a player and wants him to take a pay cut, and he doesn't do it, a lot of times he gets released. There's never no talk about honoring a contract. I know hundreds of players that wish their team would have honored the contract, but instead got through to the side like trash. A little crazy how one side has so much power that they can do as they please when it come to contract, or to the contract, I should say. But when the other side, talking about the player, feels for whatever reason, family, change of scenery, or simply what they feel just might work best for them, those same laws don't apply. It's all about honoring your contract. Sounds like free will is being a little challenged to me. All I'm saying, as a Minnesota Viking player, we need the same power to do as all 32 teams do, we they feel under contract or not. It's time for a change. Then again, I'm grateful because at the end of the day, I know some of those same guys that wish a team held on. Quite naturally, people, Peterson has 3 years left on his contract. He's set to make $12.75 million in salary in 2015. $14.75 million in 2016, $17.75 million in 2017. However, the salaries are not guaranteed. The Vikings have insisted they will not trade Adrian Peterson. On Wednesday, like I told you, Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer said the 30-year-old tailback would play for Minnesota or not at all. Now, you know, he spent the last season, all except for one game, on the exempt commissioner's permission list, which he was paid for. And after being charged with a felony child abuse, he eventually pleaded no contest to the misdemeanor reckless assault. And he's eligible to play now. And it sounds like the ultimatum has been set. Mike Zimmer, I guess, has had enough. Mike Zimmer's not the most, I would say, a patient person. And he's pretty much of a no-nonsense type of coach. And finally said that you play for us, Adrian, or you don't play for anyone. I'm going to bring my esteemed co-host, Jeff the Joker, in here and welcome him to the show and ask him his opinion. Welcome there, Mr. Joker. How you doing today? And what's your opinion of AP? Good.
Yeah,
what's your opinion of AP?
I don't have an opinion of him. He's a fool. I mean, you know, I guess he did a good job of covering up early in his career because I didn't notice. But, I mean, this guy last year pleads guilty to child abuse. And then, of course, he made it worse because he opened up his big mouth. And then, so the team pays him $15 million not to play. I mean, he wanted to play, but they paid him the full salary. He didn't play. He should be happy about that. I can't remember the last time somebody paid me $15 million not to do something, and they're going to pay him, I guess, around $15 million this year, but he's ticked off because he didn't think they stood by him. Well, that's what happens when you plead guilty to child abuse. And, you know, I can't understand why there's nobody close to him who could explain this to him. He doesn't get it. This guy is slow or something. You know, or like sometimes, you know, people, they're smart, but they have no common sense. I don't know him personally, but he's nuts. And sometimes coaches don't get involved with the contract negotiations. Some are close with the players. And, you know, usually, you know, I don't mind seeing the players get what they think they deserve because their careers are short. And if they're broke a few years after retirement, guys like me and you say, oh, look at that fool. He lost all his money, you know, because once they retire or they're close to retire, they rip up their knee. Nobody's going to give them anything.
Right.
But this time, I'm siding with the Vikings. And, you know, AP should be showing up at the mini camp with his lunchbox and, you know, yes, sir, no, sir, and whatever, and just be trying to get on with his life. And lucky he's still got a career.
Well, let me ask you this, Jeff, and I'm looking at the bigger picture here. And what I'm saying is this, the points, in my opinion, he have not just for him, but the points he was making as a player. And I'm not specifically talking about Adrian Peterson, but a player that the players are portrayed as you have to be loyal to your team. You have to honor your contract. And when they decide to ask for more money, a lot of them get lambasted. Just leave Adrian Peterson out of the equation here. I'm just talking about all the other players besides Adrian Peterson. And a lot of the players, when they ask for more money in their contract or some guaranteed money, get lambasted from the fan base and in the press for being greedy and not loyal. And I stress this, not loyal to their team. And you just emphasize that they have a short career, and it could be in practice, or it could be in OTAs, or it could be in training camp. And quite naturally, it could be in a regular season. It only takes one hit or a wrong movement in a body part that's vital, and their career could be over. Where in turn, the team, when they deem the guy is no longer useful for their team, even though they may have a contract with him, don't show that same type of loyalty. Instead, if they have a contract, they ask the guy to take a pay cut. If he doesn't take a pay cut, they release him. And I don't think that that is, and quite naturally, there's no guaranteed contracts for the most part in the NFL. So anytime any team with any player, and it really doesn't make a difference whether it's Tom Brady or Mike Sims, who got released from the Jets today, if they have a contract and the team says, well, we don't want to pay that amount of money to this guy, and regardless of who it is, ask them to take a pay cut. They don't take a pay cut, they release him. Now this guy's got to fend for himself and look for another team, and quite naturally, that team's going to sign him to cheaper money because the guy's looking for a job. And the point Adrian Peterson was making, and I'm not just on Adrian Peterson. I'm talking about players that are playing in the NFL. Is that the loyalty that is supposed to be or honored in the contract is not honored in the contract. It's a one-way street for the most part. Teams can release you and get themselves out of that contract, even though they take a cap hit. They can get out of that contract and try to sign someone else for cheaper money or go in a different direction, and now that player has to try to find a new home. And I'm being long-winded here. If you screw up or for some reason, any reason, whether you've done anything illegal or not, you can be essentially blackballed and no one picks you up. And now you're out of a career because the team didn't honor your contract. But if the roles were reversed, the player would get lambasted, like I said, in the fan base and in the press. What's your thoughts?
You know, I think Adrian Peterson's been in the league about 8 years. It took him 8 years to figure that out. What's his next revelation? That fire is hot? I mean, what's he getting at? I mean, this is all stuff everybody knows. I mean, yeah, these guys get good money, but it's not cut and dry like that. And, you know, they don't have guaranteed money, and they don't have a lot of other things. Too bad. That guy got paid $15 million last year. That's not too shabby. What's his beef? You know?
No, Jeff, you're missing what I'm saying here. That's why I said throw Adrian Peterson. No. Throw Adrian Peterson out of the equation. I'm not talking about Adrian Peterson. I'm talking about what he said about players and how a contract. It doesn't make it. Throw Adrian Peterson out there. I'm talking about just players and their contracts and how teams can throw them away whenever they want, but players. Well, are held to a standard that they have to honor the contract.
They bargained for that. You know, I mean, they have an association, and this is what their association agreed with the NFL. If these guys don't like it, they should get more involved with their players' association. I mean, personally, I'd like to see them, I mean, it's not up to me, I'd like to see them get better pension, medical, severance, that sort of thing. But they chose to fight for free agency. Because my thing is, free agency helps some guys. It helps the upper-tier guys. But to me, even if you're an upper-tier guy, I think it's good to have the pension to fall back on if you fall on hard times or whatever. But they still, all these years later, they still lag behind the other sports in pension, and you got to put the money in to get it back, and they just, you know, they said it would change when Upshaw left, but it hasn't. I mean, it's sad. It really is.
Okay, I just wanted to get that out there, we can move on from there. Now, I had talked about this on Sunday. I don't know if you ever hear the archives of any of the shows I do. And I ranted on about guys that put themselves and put the rest of the players in a bad light. For instance, Adrian Peterson or Ray Rice or Greg Hardy and Ray McDonald. Now, I just happened to say Ray McDonald. I think there was he was one of the last ones I had mentioned on Sunday, not knowing that same day that he had gotten arrested for domestic violence. And I think I was also talking about Antoine Smith, a lineman that was for the Denver Broncos. That was one of the other ones. Anyway, he had gotten arrested for domestic violence charge and child in endangerment. Well, and then subsequently the Bears released him. Well, I don't know if you heard this or not. You probably did. He got arrested again on Wednesday for violating a restraining order. And that marked the second time in 3 days he gets arrested. Now he's 30 something years old and more than likely his career in the NFL, I can almost say without a doubt, is over. I don't understand these guys that think that the money train of playing in the NFL is endless and it keeps on going. And no matter what you do or how you do it or who you do it to, you're going to be able to find a home and play football and keep that money train coming. Well, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think Ray McDonald's money train has come to a halt. Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes have snatched it, the money out of it, and it's not coming back. And Ray McDonald, in my opinion, is headed to a short trip rather than a money train. He's headed to jail train in the not too distant future. Now he's out on bond after violating the restraining order when he got arrested on Wednesday. But now he's got, besides the possible domestic violence and child endangerment charges, now he's got violating a restraining order on the same woman, from the same woman. Now, I don't get it. I don't think these guys get it. I don't know. I don't understand. I've been trying to understand this ever since time after time. You see these guys get in all kinds of trouble and do some crazy, wacky things and think that no one is noticing or going to stop them from playing the sport that they get paid millions of dollars to do, millions of dollars to play. What's your thoughts? Ray McDonald, twice in 3 days, domestic violence, child endangerment, violating restraining order. Talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, needless to say, I have a very low opinion of him. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has an alcohol or a drug problem. I'm not excusing him. And, you know, I think people, some people in the media sometimes distort these players with off-the-field issues. But I think this guy is a legitimate bad apple. Because, the fact is the NFL, there's about 1,600 players. You know, they're in their 20s and their 30s. One of them's going to get arrested once in a while. You know, some of these guys, they get in a little trouble. You know, it's misdemeanor type stuff. This is not misdemeanor stuff. He sounds like a bad guy. And right. The Bears are a little embarrassed, and I don't think any other team's going to give them a chance, and I have no problem with that.
All right. Staying in the NFL. Come August 11th, when training camp starts for a certain team, there were about four teams that were eligible for Hard Knocks. The Washington Redskins, the Buffalo Bills, do believe the Oakland Raiders were at one point. The Cleveland Browns may have been in the running. I think the Giants were at one point considered. And I'm trying to think of the other team, and the Houston Texans. And I think there was one other team, and it skips my mind for now. But as of Tuesday, the NFL released who will be the new participant in the HBO series Hard Knocks.
Heading back to camp as a world champion. Now everybody's shooting at us right now.
I could be doing anything in the world I want to be doing, and I want to be here with you.
Get the players better so they can be successful, so we can win a championship, period.
You better make up your mind what you're going to do. It's your football team. Find a way to fix it.
The best place to be is when expectations are high, and it starts with training camp. We got to have a great training camp, man.
Oh! This is a starting point in a long season. Did some good things. We got a long way to go. A lot of room for improvement.
We know what our expectations are. We don't have to pound our chest and say what we're going to do. We just got to go out every day and work.
Here we go. Let's go, Houston. We're competing now. That's how to practice like a pro right there. This is about trying to find out who wants to make the team.
Yes, sir. The NFL has decided, and it's come, and they've taken Hard Knocks to Houston. The Houston Texans are the newest participant in the 10-year anniversary of Hard Knocks. It should be pretty interesting. I'm pretty pumped up about that. And we'll see the inner workings played out on the screen of my Houston Texans. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, I noticed that. And they have certain guidelines for who gets to be on it. I think most teams don't want to be on it, but somebody has to do it. If you have a first-year head coach or a new head coach, you get a break. I don't know. I mean, NFL is smart. I mean, it's a popular show, and people are curious of what goes on behind the scenes. And it's just an example of the NFL knows or has a very good idea what people like. And those kind of shows, I think, contribute to the popularity of the NFL because, you know, you see behind the scenes some of the other sports, but not like Hard Knocks. You know, Houston, they got Watt, who's a popular, well-known player. But, you know, some guys can get a little more popular from being on the show. You never know who's going to break out. I haven't watched that in a while because I don't have HBO. But I think last time I saw it, it was Cincinnati. Remember in the past, it was remember Dallas 1 year. Jets, you know, Rex Ryan never met a microphone he didn't like. it's interesting.
Okay. I just wanted to put that out there. And one more thing that I don't know, you know, I don't even know if I should to put any kind of airtime to this, but but you know why I'm gonna say something, because Chip Kelly addressed it over the last couple of days, not today. I'm talking about LeSean McCoy created a stir when he accused Chip Kelly of getting rid of all the players that played for the Eagles, all the good black players. Kelly addressed it and dismissed the validity of McCoy's statement when speaking to reporters during Thursday's OTA, was today. I got great respect for LeSean. That's a quote from Kelly. However, in that situation, I think he's wrong. We put in a lot of time in looking at characters and factors that go into the selection and retention of players, and color's never been one of them. Kelly, now, this is interesting because I guess he wanted to clear the air, or you know, he wanted he cared enough that he attempted to call McCoy twice and didn't get a response. He then reached out to the agent of the McCoy, but still hasn't heard from the player. And he didn't address this thing in the locker room, and isn't bothered by it. But it was asked by him, so he responded to it. He said, "It doesn't hurt me. I'm not governed by the fear of what people say. Events don't elicit feelings. I think beliefs elicit feelings, and I understand what my beliefs are, and I know who I am." So I don't know if you want to say anything about it, but he finally addressed it. LeSean McCoy has been voicing his opinion, and for the most part, Chip Kelly has been silent up until this point when he addressed it during a media session at the Thursday's OTA. What's your thoughts?
You know, this has been kicking around for a while, and I remember when I first heard it, and I guess it wasn't going away because you wonder, you know, should Kelly address it, but I guess it wasn't going away. I mean, the thing is, it'd be hard to prove because, let's say, I mean, in the NFL, what, maybe 2/3 of the players are black, maybe? I'm not sure, but it's more right. than half.
Yes, and absolutely.
So let's say if it's 2/3, it might be 3/4. I'm not sure, and it might vary a little from team to team. If 3/4 of the players are black, you know, then if 3/4 of the guys he gets rid of are black, that doesn't seem out of the ordinary. Something like that, I mean, it's possible. It'd be hard to prove. I mean, I haven't looked at this. Now, Kelly, he brought in a lot of guys from University of Oregon, which is fairly common for, guys, you know, for coaches to bring in guys they coached before in the pros or coached in college. I'm curious what the racial makeup is of the Oregon guys. I don't know if that's created a problem in Philadelphia, like those guys are the teacher's pets or whatever. But, you know, if a lot of those guys are white, and you say, oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It could be true. I hope it's not true. It's a serious allegation. It's something that's hard to prove. There's a lot of coaches that are like that, I think, but those aren't usually the coaches who make it to the NFL level. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because my experience with coaches is people think, you know, when you're talking about, you know, high school or low-level college coaches, that all they care about is winning, and that's not necessarily the case. A lot of these guys, these are little dictators. Their priority is just bossing people around and thinking that they're right. They'd rather win than lose, but those kind of coaches aren't about winning. The guys who make it to higher-level college in the NFL, those guys are about winning. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's my impression because, I went to a Division III college with good sports programs, and I heard a lot of stuff about the coaches, and I had been very naive before that. And this wasn't from the bench warmers. And I was like, wow, I just was very surprised to hear a lot of that stuff.
Okay. I'm trying to think if I want to move on to the other football or not right now.
Well, you know what? Football.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you, because you're a Giant fan, and I don't know if you've heard this before. And I guess the question was posed to Odell Beckham. And about what he expects to happen in the sophomore season, that a sophomore slump with defenses prepared to send double teams and waves this season at him. He had a quote to say, "I definitely expect to receive a lot more attention, but it's just not going to work." So what he's saying is, you know, that even though you send me, I don't know if it's good or bad, and I want to get a Giants opinion on it, that a second-year player, he's had 1 year of success, great year, rookie of the year, that he can come back and say that, bring on a double team, it's not going to work. What's your thoughts?
You know, I mean, his talent is very impressive, but I can't stand him. I mean, I just can't stand him. This guy just won't shut his hole. And I'm not, you know, I mean, he doesn't have to be mute. He doesn't have to be humble. But, you know, give it a rest once in a while, because you know what? It's not a huge deal. He missed, I think, the first four games with a hamstring. And I don't know if he's one of these guys who's going to be prone to that. Who knows? He could be the next Miles Austin, you know, king of the pulled hamstring. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, but no matter how great a guy is, you're just one pulled muscle or broken bone or something away from being irrelevant. And it just, I just want this guy, because I remember the St. Louis game last year and all that nonsense. Just play the game, you know? He doesn't need to talk. He doesn't need to celebrate. You know, a lot of the great ones don't. I mean, some do. But this guy's just out of control. I mean, I don't get it. You know, I mean, and you want to, you know, one of his peers, Victor Cruz, you know, he does the dance. But the thing is, you know, maybe, you know, some of the other guys will say something like, hey, you know, knock it off with the dance. I'm sure they don't say that. But he doesn't go after him. He doesn't get a flag for that. You know what I'm saying? A fight doesn't break out, because I'm sure if it did, then Coughlin, you know, he has Coughlin's permission to dance, surprisingly, and then he would lose the permission. And I think there's some rules, because I think the Giants were once ahead or behind by a lot, and he got a touchdown and he didn't do the dance. You see, he needs to be more like Cruz.
Okay. And on that Cruz note, I think Cruz has said he's 80%. So he's getting there, but he had a devastating knee injury, and I don't know if he's ever going to get back to 100%, but he stated he's 80% right now. All right, let's move on to this. And I wanted to talk about this. And Jeff, I want to thank you, because you're the one that clued me on this. I didn't know about it until I wasn't paying attention to it, that the U.S. Department of Justice alleges FIFA, which is the organization that controls the soccer throughout the world, corruption over past 24 years. U.S. Attorney General Loretta E. Lynch reveals all the details and evidence used against the 9 former and current FIFA executives and 5 corporate executives indicted on corruption charges. U.S. prosecutors say they have uncovered a dozen different schemes while investigating corruption at FIFA, the world football body, and that some of those schemes involved the awarding of the World 2010 World Cup to South Africa. Lynch said at a news conference that bribery and corruption had been marring the sport for at least 24 years. As FIFA officials solicited bribes from sports marketing firms and others surrounding it marquee event. Lynch spoke on Wednesday, just yesterday, in New York, as U.S. federal charges were unveiled against 14 people. Excuse me, again, I'm saying against 9 former or current FIFA officials in a sweeping investigation. She said the extradition process was already underway, but stressed there are no allegations that football games, we're talking about soccer games, people, not the NFL type of football games, or tournaments, were influenced by corruption. The Swiss Justice Ministry says U.S. authorities now have 40 days to submit a formal extradition request to the Switzerland for 6 of 7 FIFA officials arrested in a FIFA corruption probe, adding that 6 of those 7 plan to fight extradition. U.S. officials said those arrested, including FIFA Vice President Jeffrey Webb from the Cayman Islands, Eugenio Figueredo of Uruguay, as well as Eduardo Lee of Costa Rica, Julio Roca of Nicaragua, Costa Takis of Britain, Rafael Esquivel of Venezuela, and I'm probably beating up these names, but I'm doing the best I can, and Jose Maria Marin of Brazil. 9 of the 14 who were indicted by the Justice Department are football officials, while 4 are sports marketing executives, and another works in broadcasting. On Wednesday, FIFA banned 11 from football-related activities, including Webb, Lee, Roca, Takis, Jack Warner, Figueredo, Esquivel, Marin, Leos, Blazer, and Daryl Warner. Lynch also said investigators have found $110 million in bribes linked to the planning of the 2016 Copa America, which is being held in the U.S. for the first time. She said the schemes involved officials at both, and I don't know these organizations, the CONCACAF and CONMEBOL. Swiss prosecutors, meanwhile, announced criminal proceedings on Wednesday to FIFA's awarding of the 2018 and 2022 World Cups. And I'll go on just a little bit more, then I'll get your thoughts on this, Jeff. Lynch said that beginning in 1991, those involved corrupted the business of worldwide soccer to serve their interests and to enrich themselves. They did this over and over, year after year, tournament after tournament. CONCACAF and CONMEBOL both said via statements that they will fully cooperate with the investigation. Lynch said FIFA's looming presidential election set for Friday played no role in the timing of U.S. officials' decision to unveil extensive corruption charges against key FIFA officials. And this guy, you got to believe this guy is a main offender, but he's not getting indicted or anything. FIFA President Sepp Blatter said via a statement that we welcome the actions and the investigations by the U.S. and Swiss authorities. Let me be clear. Such misconduct has no place in football. This is soccer, people. I'm not talking about American football. And we will ensure that those who engage in it are put out of the game. Jeff, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I've been hearing for years how messed up FIFA is. You know, one of the most corrupt organizations on the planet. And, you know, I think it's just the criminal nature to be greedy and not to be discreet. And I think what blew it for them was giving the World Cup to Qatar. You know, because yep. they have yep. minimal infrastructure. And, yep. you know, but, you know, when you're greedy and you've been getting away with it, you just think you're so clever and everyone else is so dumb and you're just going to keep getting away with it. And that's the way criminals are. And that's what these people sound like. I think a lot of Americans are seem naive about corruption. I don't think it goes on more or less here than it does other places. I think just the people seem more shocked. And I think a lot of other countries, people aren't as surprised. But, you know, it's like, this is a horrible example, but let's say, and I know the majority aren't like this, but if there's a crooked cop, you know, you can give him a few bucks, he'll look the other way. But yep. he's not going to be so stupid. You give him a few bucks, he's not going to let you deal heroin on the schoolyard. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
The corruption usually has some limits, but these guys were out of control. And the sad thing is with the Qatar, I mean, they're right now, they're trying to build the infrastructure. They have the money. It's just they're not, you know, I think they have a lot of oil, So they're trying, I guess, to build the roads and the stadiums and all the things they're going to need. And, gee, why don't they go to a country that already had it? But they're bringing in a lot of these laborers from India and treating them like animals, practically. And that's very sad also.
Yeah, and the ironic thing about this, Jeff, and I alluded to it in the in that article I was reading, that come Friday, 209 members of FIFA are set to start at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 local time, which is 3:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and run throughout the day. The vote on the next president, quite naturally, the present president, he's running for re-election, who I mentioned in a few quotes. And most of the football family, and I'm talking about soccer people, have pledged their support for his fifth term, and all but one of his challengers are out of the running. Now, just like I'm reading this article, how much of the what took place on Wednesday has a effect on Seth Blatter and basically this other candidate who's trying to pick up the presidency and take it away from Seth Blatter, Prince Ali bin Al Hussein from Jordan, we'll have to see. It's basically, in my opinion, when I read this article that I'm talking about, it looked like a fait accompli that the Seth Blatter, who over 24 years, I don't know if it's been 24 years, but over four presidency, and I don't want to know how long they last his term, but he's been in charge of FIFA. And his vice president and the others that are under him that are part of the organization have been involved in this. I can't believe, in my opinion, that he's completely innocent and not knowing what's been going on. And that 209 members possibly will reelect him to a fifth term, overseeing the worst scandal in FIFA history that over a period of 24 years. What's your thoughts on that, Jeff?
Oh yeah. I mean, this guy's dirty and, you know, the whole system is odd. You know, thinking about it, it's almost good that American football is only popular here. I mean, it's starting to get popular in other places, but it's nothing like soccer. So, you know, we don't have to deal with an international body, but the thing is with FIFA, actually, believe it or not, FIFA does give some money back to the member countries, but they give just as much money to the very small countries as they do to the major countries, which is odd. And then those small countries get a vote for the president, just like the big powerful countries. So a lot of those little countries might still vote for Blatter. It's a very strange system. And, I don't know if it'll happen. I mean, supposedly FIFA's so corrupt, you think they might need a complete overhaul, because if something that's crooked, you can't just get rid of a few guys and expect everybody to clean up their act.
Right.
You wonder if somebody else could take over to, you know, run the sport, the World Cup and all that stuff, but I don't know if they could pull that off. But it's the only thing I could think of like it, and it hasn't happened yet, people talking about the conferences running college football and basketball without the NCAA. I don't know. It'd be hard to do because, you know, with soccer, it's so global. Somebody's got to run it, but FIFA messed it up really bad.
Well, this other guy, this last man standing besides the incumbent, Prince Ali bin Al Hussein, has waged a dogged campaign promising greater transparency in the way FIFA does business and for corruption to be driven out of the organization. quite naturally. These events that took place on Wednesday couldn't be more timely, and subsequent news of two investigations into FIFA corruption as listed as a sad day for football. The Jordanian will use his address to Congress to hammer home his mantra that FIFA is endemically corrupt and that the time has come for new leadership. It may make for uneasy listening for Blatter, but nothing he has not already heard. Now, it's obvious to me, if it's in your watch and it's been going on for more than two decades, and I don't know how long Blatter has been in office, but he's got to have known what was going on before he got in office or while he was in office or up until this point. And I don't see where he can go unscathed in here. And to this point, Jeff, before I get back to this article, to this point, and I forget her, the woman, but I saw on ESPN, and this is before yesterday, almost a week ago, maybe over the weekend, that this a whistleblower. A woman that worked in was some type of executive or assistant or whatever in FIFA said that all these guys were corrupt, including the president. And she's basically had to, as typical of whistleblowers, not reaped the rewards of anything. In fact, it's the exact opposite. And her, quite naturally, her life's been threatened. I think she's, if I'm not mistaken, in some type of protective custody because of the accusations and the evidence and truth that she brought to light. And that's what I'm saying. If the president has been in here for four terms. And you have over a decade, almost two decades and a half of corruption, that there's no way this guy doesn't know what was going on. And I don't know how in the world that the 209 members that are voting for the next president can vote this guy in with all with a clear conscience. unless that there are the layers that are to these people, whoever they are so thick that the corruption that has been laid down or has been exposed doesn't hit these 209 members. Now, and I'm saying all 209 members are corrupt, but I gotta believe there's a lot of members that have influenced other ones, and the ones that have the influence could be the ones that are more corrupt than the ones that they influence, and to get them to vote one way or the other. And I got to applaud the Jordanian prince of trying to, this is just perception from what I'm seeing, trying to change the culture and the mindset of what's been going on for FIFA, with FIFA for so long that it's hard to root out the rotten apples because they're so well entrenched in the system, and there's so many of them that what the U.S. and other countries are trying to do to get to the bottom of it and get all the bad apples at. Be careful what you wish for, because you may have some come right behind them that even worse. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I was laughing because I was thinking about local politics. And I remember the mayor of Parsippany once, who was more crooked than a barrel full of snakes. He got reelected. That happens sometimes. Because one of the reasons he got reelected, no matter how bad the mayor is, if you're connected with him, you're going to vote for him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, usually there's not enough of those types to put somebody in, but, you know, he had cronies, and then the problem was they didn't put a good candidate against him. So it was two candidates, and they split the opposing vote. So he got reelected with 50% of the vote. And those kind of things can happen. It could be a close election. This is only the second time I remember talking about soccer on the podcast. I remember it might have been Saturday, or it might have been Vic was hosting, and he and myself and one of the other gentlemen from the D.C. area were talking about soccer. And I wasn't aware that, they're talking about, that D.C. had some good high school soccer teams, because North Jersey has some very good high school soccer teams and good youth soccer programs.
Yes.
And the thing is, back in the day, we had the Cosmos, and that was huge. And I never got into it. I mean, I had other sports I followed, other sports I tried to play. I didn't like to play soccer as a kid. I appreciate it a little more now as an adult. And I didn't think it was a good spectator sport. But, soccer's probably as popular in North Jersey as it is anywhere in the country.
Yeah, I can believe that. I can believe that. There's a lot of Spanish-speaking people and European heritage people in the northern part of the state that are big on soccer. And I can believe that. Soccer is a very, very popular sport. Not as popular as our American football, but come on World Cup time, fans become fanatical with whatever team that they cheer for. All right, Jeff, well, we got about 2.5 minutes before the end of the show. What's your thoughts about what took place last night? I don't know if you watched it or not. Now the two teams are set for the NBA Finals, which is not going to be played until a week from today, the first game, which is unbelievable that you have to wait a week before the NBA Finals will take place. Now we have Stephen Curry, who leads the Golden State Warriors for the first time in 40 years, if I'm not mistaken, into the finals, and Cleveland, and led by LeBron James, who have never won a world championship, have been to the finals recently. Last time LeBron was in Cleveland. What's your thoughts on Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers? Who do you like, if anybody?
I said this before. I'm rooting for Cleveland because my mom likes LeBron a lot. I like the fact that Golden State is in the finals because they haven't been in a long time. If it's not 40 years, it's close. But they won it 1 year with Rick Barry. And I think he was the only big star on the team, but they had a very good supporting cast, and they really got it together that year. And, I forget the number, but, there's not a lot of parity in the NBA. There's very few teams that get to the finals, and it's illustrated by it being almost 40 years since Golden State last did it.
1975.
This is just two recent injuries on Golden State. Curry, she looks okay, and then Thompson. I'm not sure what his status. I guess the week off will help. I'll tell you, these guys got to be careful in the air, because once a guy is in the air, that's when I think there's a high probability he or someone else could get seriously hurt. I mean, I know you got to go in the air for basketball, but, maybe sometimes they got to be a little more careful, because Curry could have gotten seriously hurt. it can happen, and you don't want to see it happen. You don't want to see that happen to anybody. But, you know, I'm sure, of course, the league wants Golden State in the finals, of course. But, you know, that's another story. But, you know, they got an excellent squad, especially the backcourt. So hopefully it'll be a good seven-game series. And I'm sure Cleveland could use the rest because they're really depleted at this point.
Okay. Well, we come to the end of the show. And as usual, Jeff, it was a pleasure having your conversation for this hour that we spent out here on the show. Come back, like everyone else who's listening, come back on next week, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, where Jeff and I will be talking about especially the first game of the NBA Finals, which is going to take place a week from today. And anything else that may go crazy in sports, because it seems like we're not short on subject matter from week to week because of what's been taking place in various sports or various individuals within those sports doing some questionable things and quite naturally some illegal things. So we'll be back here 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. As always, the FSP crew will be talking or whatever's been taking place over the last week, and enjoy the rest of the weekend starting on Friday, which is tomorrow, and until we meet again or you listen again to us next week. We are out. See ya.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew, yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's fantasy sports and politics crew, yeah.